God, everyone. Welcome back. 500th episode celebration. And now, as they say, it gets real.
Bracket time.
And also, audience, we are going to need your help for this bracket because this stuff is crazy because we are not counting down. We are deciding what is the greatest movie of the 2010s since we are like 5 weeks away from the 2010s being gone. We're out of here.
We have an insane amount of hosts for the Front Row Network here. Jeremy Bailey is trying to take pictures of us. He doesn't even know if he can fit everybody in. So I'm going to introduce everybody. Jeremy Gechner, editor-in-chief.
Hi, what's up?
The person that edits, the person that I text and yell, hey, why isn't that podcast up yet?
Why isn't this up yet? Because I like to sleep sometimes.
I'm Craig. I'm one of the co-hosts of Beyond the Mouse. Next to me, my brother, my partner in life, right? Brother?
What about Anna?
What?
Whoa, Anna, where are you?
This just got weird real quick. Scott McFarland.
Reports of my death have been exaggerated.
He was the host of Flashbacks for a long time, and discovering Star Trek and Zonisodes. Ryan Lutens took over Flashbacks for him, but only 6 months late. So
good job, Ryan. I'm ready to take it over again. Thanks.
Next to Scott, we have Brandon Davis, our host of Classics.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Also one of the original Front Row people, like one of the original two. You
All
and
right.
me, man.
All right. And then we got our table down below. We're starting with Steve Sykes.
Hello.
I'm like announcing the Chicago Bulls lineup from the 90s. And at power forward, the co-host of Beyond the Mouse, Vanessa Ferguson.
Hey.
We can probably get more scores in the Bulls, too, right now.
Oh.
The Nordic center of the Beyond the Mouse podcast, Brett Rutherford.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. So excited.
Yeah, so excited. The somewhat co-host of Flashbacks, when he decides to do it, we got to give him a break. He's a new dad. Ryan Lutens.
Hello, thank you.
We have a special guest and a frequent host of the military shows on the podcast, Jay Hoffman.
Hello, everybody.
We've got the host of Guilty Pleasures for the network, Mr. Lewis Hare.
Someone please follow me on Twitter. At the fake Lou Hare.
You don't tell him how to spell it.
Just at the fake Lou Hare. It's not that hard. Louhare. I'm there.
Follow me, damn it. I'm just curious. Who is the real Lou Hare?
It is some nice lady. It exists. There is another Lou Hare out there. And originally it was a joke because celebrities are like, oh, the real whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'll be ironic and say I'm the fake Lou Hare. And then I tried to change it to Lou Hare one day, and I realized there's actually another Lou Hare out there.
There's another Lou Hare, L-U Hare.
Apparently. So, yeah.
And she's on Twitter?
She is on Twitter. Follow her. I'm sure she's a delight.
Here's what's going to happen, everyone. Everyone follow that Lou Hare, okay?
Yeah,
we'll just rub it in Lou's face.
Follow the Lou Hare and the fake Lou Hare. You'll be covered both ways.
The host of Pop Culture Draft Night for the Front Row, Mr. Phil Rockwell.
Hey, everybody. I should mention that the only reason I did any of this is because I thought one-third of the feminist Voltron would be here tonight.
Nice.
So I'm a little disappointed, but I won't let that affect my attitude.
Absolutely. And traveling all the way from Chicago, Illinois, Aaron McCabe, you are joining us.
Hi, hi, hi.
So we need to get you a show.
Yeah, well, she's fresh off of her coverage of Ace Comic-Con up in Chicago. I mean, come on.
Talk to me about those Taryn Edgerton ladies.
Yes.
There is no one as vicious as a 50-year-old woman dressed as Rocket Man herself in sequins going after her fourth photo op with Taryn Edgerton.
What?
They were super cold-blooded.
Nice, yes. Nice. All right, so this is how it's going to work, everyone. We are counting down the best movie of the decade. We need your votes. So when you're out there and you're drinking, definitely drink a lot more. Go to the bar. Corbin over there is such a great guy. He will hook you up.
As is always the adage in theater, we're a lot more talented when you're drunk. So
absolutely.
Keep drinking.
This is the rules. I will say that the hosts have been explained these rules about a million times by me. They have 1 minute, 1 minute
one.
To talk about 1 minute to talk about their movie. And then we are going to let the audience decide by round of applause, whatever is louder. If there's a discrepancy between you and I, whoever wins, we will rock, paper, scissors
for the winner. Good.
And we'll go from there. So
this is very important because if you really like a movie, if you're loudest, that's how it is. This is ancient Sparta rules, basically, everyone. So cheer loudly if you like a movie, okay?
So with our first matchup in the franchise region.
Do we want to say how these two got here?
Oh,
it's very important. We voted on the first round, so we're down to 32 now. We started with 64. We voted online with our social media community, and that got us down to 32 teams. So how did these two get here, and who's arguing them, Craig?
Absolutely. So the number one seed in the franchise region, Fast and the Furious, will be Lou Hare defending that. And the number eight seed, Pitch Perfect, will be Steve Sykes. We will let the underdogs go first. Steve, you have 1 minute.
Well, as far as Perfect Pitch goes, it's incredibly entertaining and family-friendly. Great music, obviously. It solidified Anna Kendrick as a star and also introduced the world pretty much to Rebel Wilson. It was fueled by a female cast, so a lot of girl power going on there. That's pretty cool. Written and produced by a woman, and that's great for the movie industry. And you have the Green Bay Packers singing. Yeah! So, I mean...
R.I.P. Clay Matthews.
So, but yeah, it's just a tremendously entertaining franchise. And for all of us show choir kids, we really...
I don't know what sound I should make when your minute is up. Pwomp! Lou Hare. Talking Fast and the Furious, which started as an automobile franchise, I should note.
Yeah.
Has evolved since then.
So, okay, what in the early 2000s was basically a Point Break remake, essentially by the 2010s, became let's just do as much crazy shit as we can and keep jumping and overcoming. So we've got five movies from this decade. Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7, The Fate and the Furious, and Hobbs and Shaw. Each one more bonkers than the next. Each one making more money than the next. And the first movie of that decade is the first one to introduce one of the biggest stars of the decade, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So all of these movies make a lot of money. They overcome a lot of things. They overcome the loss of Paul Walker. They overcome shifts in the cast. They overcome Vin Diesel and The Rock kind of hating each other. And yet they make these movies that continue to make more and more money. I think if you look at this decade, this is one of the surefire franchises of the decade. Green Bay Packers in sight.
All right. Here we go, audience. It goes to you now. Everybody that wants to vote for the Fast and the Furious, clap right now. All right. Everybody that wants to vote for Pitch Perfect, clap right now. Everybody, I think that Pitch Perfect won it.
Pitch Perfect wins!
Pitch Perfect advances to the Sweet 16. Anna Kendrick and her cups are on the way to the Sweet 16.
Lou, this is in no way a reflection of your arguing style, okay? That's
truth be told, I haven't seen a single one of them.
All right. The next matchup. All right, we've got Phil Rockwell. He is going to be arguing on behalf of the It franchise. All right, that one defeated The Purge to advance here. He is going to be going up against, once again, Steve Sykes. What is this? Two in a row. He's going to be arguing for the Conjuring franchise, which took out the Paranormal Activity franchise at the beginning here, all right? So, very important here. Let's start it off with Phil Rockwell. Tell me, why the It franchise deserves to move on here.
Okay, here's why It is important. It could be called The Kids Are All Right with a Scary Clown. When I saw It for the first time, my 7-year-old daughter had just been diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, which, if you know anything about it, is about fear. You're afraid if you do this thing, this is going to happen. It's completely irrational. And that is what is at the core of Pennywise. It's the fears that are deep inside us that are not rational, that can be preyed upon, that can hold us back. But what we see in It is people who are working to overcome those fears, to better themselves. And it's one of the few horror franchises you will ever find that ends on hope.
Ding, 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 ding. There we go. Very good arguing. All right, Mr. Steve Sykes, it is time to argue The Conjuring. Give me your best argument in a minute.
The Conjuring demonstrated that top-notch horror could be based on suspense and atmosphere and not gore. It was R-rated, but only because of the sheer terror that it generated. James Wan is a genius. There's so many classic movie tricks that he works into this. The first 15 minutes of the movie is just a clinic. Lots of 1970s horror movie love, even a call out to something as obscure as The Changeling with a bouncing ball. Lily Taylor is an amazing performance, and it's a sneaky, massive franchise. 7 movies that came from The Conjuring so far, with 3 more in production. So,
look at that. Ding, 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 ding. All right, those are some pretty well-argued points here, okay? Now it's up to the audience. Which horror franchise is moving on? Everybody who wants to vote for the It franchise, give me some noise. Okay. Pennywise appreciates. Everyone voting for the Conjuring franchise, give me some noise. That is a well-argued point. The Conjuring is moving on. Awesome.
Steve Sykes, batting 1,000 with these votes. Everyone loves Steve. He's the Tom Hanks of podcasting, I believe, is what I've heard. So, all right, we're on to our next round in the franchise region. We have the Mission Impossible franchise, remembering it is only the Mission Impossibles from this decade. Scott is going to be arguing those. And then we have the John Wick, I Killed Your Dog franchise, spoiler alert, from Lou Hare. Here we go. We're going to let Scott go first with the Mission Impossible franchise.
Okay, I got 4 reasons why this beats John Wick. First off, they keep getting better and better. And yes, I'm already going to break the rules because it's a loose bracket and I do that. So part 2 sucked, but after that, they keep getting better and better and better. Along with that, you have a franchise that just won't freaking die to a point where it's made $3.5 billion as a franchise. Whereas in John Wick, you're already looking it up, Lou, it's okay. $500 million for John Wick. It's okay. So $500 million versus $3.5 billion. The other thing, too, is it's going to last longer in John Wick because Keanu is a mortal man. But Tom Cruise has been 33 for the past 60 years. He's got that he's got that Xenu power that's going to keep him going forever. And finally, the reason why Mission Impossible wins is John Wick killed a couple Russians with a car. Good job. Tom killed Superman with a frickin' helicopter.
All right, Lou Hare. You have lost one already tonight. I'm just saying. Let's argue John Wick, the number 6 seed.
Yeah. First of all, Tom Cruise needed a helicopter. Keanu only needed a book in John Wick 3, by the way. The John Wick franchise is all about practical effects, fight stunt coordination, and amazing fighting sequences. It's not about, hey, how can Tom Cruise almost kill himself this time? It's about actual great fighting sequences. It is a throwback to the modern era of action movies. They keep getting better and better. 1, 2, 3 keep getting better. They've all happened in this decade. 2019 is the year of Keanu Reeves. He is, and that doesn't happen if John Wick doesn't make bank at the box office the first, second, and now third time. All of these movies are amazing. Mission Impossible is fine. John Wick rests on the back of Keanu Reeves. And if Keanu beats Tom Cruise any day.
Wong. All right. All right. You are breaking the rules, sir.
Because it's Lou's bracket and he hates me.
All right. Here we go. Audience, The number three seed, Mission Impossible. Who wants to vote for Mission Impossible? The number six seed, John Wick franchise. I'm going to say John Wick took that. What do you think?
I think Mission Impossible.
All right, we're going to our first. No, rock, paper, scissors. We've established this. Here we go. Ready?
Are we going to shoot?
Yes. Yes, ready? That's true. We should assign those. You're right. Ready? One, two, three, shoot. Yeah! Boom!
Two out of three.
All right. John Wick moves on in the bracket.
All right, people. This is one of the most fascinating matchups we have here, okay? Arguing for the Jurassic World Series is Mr. Brandon Davis. He's going to be going for it there. He's going to be going up against Mr. Ryan Lutens, who is going to be arguing on behalf of the Planet of the Apes series. All right? This is utterly fascinating here. All right? Brandon, we are going to go with you first off. Tell me why in a minute Jurassic World deserves to move on.
All right. Well, Jurassic World, in my opinion, was a return to great Saturday afternoon fare that we hadn't seen in a long time at the movies. It brought Chris Pratt into the cinema vocabulary alongside Guardians of the Galaxy. No. But no, what I love about Jurassic World is it took a franchise that we all felt was long dead and brought it back into relevance here within the last decade. No. Scott's going to be my my conscience in my ear the whole time. No, but it took a franchise that we long thought was long gone, brought it back, made it a box office champ again, and is actually taking risks. Some people don't like it, some people do, but I think it's always interesting to watch and always is great water cooler talk.
There you go, ding, 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 and that is the argument for Jurassic World. All right, Ryan, you're arguing for the Planet of the Apes. Do us proud here. Give us the rundown.
All right, well, I mean, Charlton Heston and I'm just kidding. All right, Planet of the Apes, which consists of three films, Rise, Dawn, and War. These three films in and of itself are actually good movies compared to Jurassic World.
Okay,
anybody can take their six-year-old three times to go see a dinosaur movie, but to actually enjoy a movie about apes that are smart is way better than dinosaurs running amok, okay? These movies were well thought out. All were 90% or above on Rotten Tomatoes, whereas Fallen Kingdom was a rotten, like, 47. Here's my thing, okay? The movies itself have great villains, okay? Our movies have Gary Oldman and Woody Harrelson. Jurassic World has Vincent D'Onofrio and Rafe Spall, whoever that is.
Oh, okay. All right. That was a heated argument there. I like it a lot. All right. Here we go. Who thinks Jurassic World should move on? Give me an applause. Okay. Everyone who thinks the Planet of the Apes should move on. Oh, I think that Andy Serkis is proud of all of you. The Planet of the Apes are moving on.
You know what, though? That Jungle Book movie was rough. I'm just going to say it. All right, so the apes are moving on to the Sweet 16. Now we are entering into the family bracket. After my heart, really, and I'm going to get a lot of love from my Beyond the Mouse co-hosts, I believe. This might be the most controversial matchup of the night because this has been an ongoing discussion amongst people on the front row for a long time. All right, here we go. The number one seed in the family bracket, Frozen, versus the number eight seed, Moana. Frozen will be represented by Brett Rutherford, and Moana is going to be represented by Aaron. All right, we will let the underdog go first in this matchup. Moana, tell us how far you're going to go with this matchup.
Well, I have to admit, there's a lot of girl-on-girl crime in this particular matchup, and I've got nothing wrong with Frozen. I've got a sister myself, and I loved the movie. However, what I think Moana accomplishes that Frozen doesn't is it tells if the 2010s are the new decade of girl power, what Moana does for girl power is something that Frozen doesn't do, in the sense that it excludes a romantic relationship from the plot in any way, shape, or form, proving that you can be on a journey of self-discovery without a man in a romantic sense, as well as looking at the journey of becoming the woman you're meant to be, while also looking at it through the lens of a love of self, a love of culture that is displayed beautifully throughout the entire movie, and a love of family. Not to mention the entire original score of Mark Mancina and the lyrics of Lin-Manuel Miranda are fucking epic.
Bong! All right, Brett. Well, defend Elsa and Anna.
Absolutely, my pleasure. So, the best thing about Frozen, it's a Disney film with the best things that you want in a Disney film. It has not one, it has two Disney princesses. It has a bad boyfriend, a possible good boyfriend, a reindeer, and a snowman, and a score and songs that we will be singing forever in our brains, whether or not we want to or not. The other thing is, I would say that without Frozen, there wouldn't have been a Moana because what we have in, you know, at the very end, you think that you think that there's going to be this rescue from, you know, the boy rescues the girl, and actually the girl rescues the girl, and it's all about family love, and it brought a big surprise to all of the audiences, and it's a great film, and I can't let it go.
All right. We're about... What'd you say? Oh, Moana rescued an entire nation. In fairness, Arendelle was put into a frozen hellscape before Anna came in. Anyway... this might put to bed the largest debate in the Disney fandom. All right, here we go. Everyone that wants to vote for Frozen, please clap and make some noise. Frozen! Moana. I disagree with you all, but I'm going to let it go. Moana moves on to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
Lou, look at your phone.
Wow. That was a torturous matchup. Actually, Frozen had to be Tangled to get here, and I would argue that that's a closer matchup than people think. Now, continuing in the family bracket here, this one's very close to my heart because my son loves one of these films way too much. But we are going to blend live action and animated in this matchup. Arguing for the number 4 seed, The Greatest Showman, will be Brandon Davis. And arguing on behalf of the upset, number 12 seed, Big Hero 6, is going to be Mr. Scott McFarlane. This is going to be so freaking good. All right, let's start it off with Brandon Davis. 1 minute, tell me why The Greatest Showman should move on.
To start off with, despite the historical inaccuracies I know everyone's going to throw at me,
what?
The Greatest Showman was a feel-good movie. It really was. It's an alternative history fairy tale, which is problematic.
That's what we're going to call it.
But, all right, music written by Pasek and Paul, who are arguably the best songwriting team of the last decade.
There you go.
Also, the fact that The Greatest Showman was a sleeper hit in an era where sleepers do not exist at all anymore. It did horribly at the box office the first weekend, but through word of mouth kept going, and I believe theaters held it over for at least a month afterwards.
That's true.
And also, it stars Hugh Jackman, and nothing's better than that.
Boom! That's my decider right there. Hugh Jackman forever. All right, Scott McFarland, tell me why Hiro Hamada and Big Hero 6 deserve to move on.
First off, P.T. Barnum.
Really?
A sucker's born every minute? The dude, his first wife died, which they didn't show that in the movie, and then he married a girl who was 40 years younger than him. I wanted to see that part of the movie. Okay? Not to mention he was a racist, he was an idiot, he lost most of his money several times. He's basically Donald Trump, but that's another story.
Goodness me, man.
But. Okay, Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6 is an amazing film because, one, it's a Marvel movie that wasn't a Marvel movie.
That's right.
Which was actually really risky for Disney. They could have slapped Marvel on that sucker and made tons of more money. But they decided to make a movie about a brother who lost his brother, his life partner, if you will. Not that you're going to die, I hope. But look at
the older brother dies in that film.
That's the handsomer one, too. Yes, I'm okay with dying if I'm prettier. Okay. But
Look at the artistic nature of that film. Look at San Francisco. I think that's how you said it. Yep. Just the amazing architecture in that film. And when your kids go to Disney, do they want to get a hug from P.T. Barnum or from Baymax? Baymax!
Okay. I really can't argue with that point. Okay, fascinating matchup here. All right, everybody who thinks The Greatest Showman should move on, make some noise. Greatest Showman. I'm going to guess how this is going to turn out. Big Hero 6, huh? Yeah! Big Hero 6 is moving on.
I want to tell you, you're all contrarians. Literally.
I love all of you.
Literally, every single upset has happened in this bracket so far. And I hope that that continues. Am I showing my cards here, Lou? All right. The number 3 seed in the family bracket, Despicable Me, represented by Lou Hare, who is 0-2 so far.
No, I'm 1-1. John Wick 1, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
I got the receipts, motherfucker.
You're right. You know what? I'm the one that won that for you. And then...
they can believe that.
Number 11 seed, Finding Dory, starring Ellen DeGeneres, represented by Vanessa Ferguson, from Beyond the Mouse fame. All right, we're going to go with Lou Hare first, the number 3 seed, Despicable Me.
Okay, look, if this was against Finding Nemo, it's not a contest. But Finding Dory is not as good as Finding Nemo. Meanwhile, Despicable Me runs a whole franchise of movies, not only because of the Despicable Me movies, but then you have a Minions spinoff. The Minions are one of the most indelible characters of this entire decade. Your aunt couldn't send you a meme if it wasn't for the Minions right now. Everyone knows the Minions. They're on everybody's lawn. Despicable Me put an impact on the decade. Finding Dory is a sequel to a movie from a previous decade. It's a relic. Despicable Me should at least move on to the next round.
All right. Finding Dory.
Can you hear me all right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
All right. Well, so...
turn the lady up, Jeremy.
Finding Dory is a Disney movie. So, first of all, it's going to be better than Despicable Me, obviously.
Snaps.
But second of all, you said that it was more impactful. And I would disagree. Because Finding Dory not only tells us the origin story of Dory, but it also gave us Baby Dory. Baby Dory is adorable, and that impacted my life. And Baby Dory says, hello, what? hello. That's what Baby Dory did for my life. Also, Sigourney Weaver taught me many things in that movie. I did not know about the ocean. I did not know about seals or baby otters or any of that stuff until I watched Finding Dory. So thank you, Disney, and thank you, Dory.
All right, Vanessa, bring in the heat. Against Lou. All right, here, everybody. The number three. Oh, yes! The number 3 seed, Despicable Me. Anybody that wants to vote for Despicable Me, please vote now. All right. Finding Dory, the number 11 seed. I think it's a tie.
I think one more time.
All right. Despicable Me. Finding Dory.
That's a tie.
To me, that's a tie. Okay, ready? Rock, paper, scissors. I'm definitely Finding Dory. I'm the Disney guy.
All right,
ready? Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Boom! Yes! I am rocking rock, paper, scissors tonight. I will say, I am not hosting this next matchup, but literally this matchup crushes my soul because these are the 2 best Pixar movies ever made. Bar none. And if any of you want to argue with me, I will be here after we're done.
Oh, my goodness.
Scott just said Up is the best Pixar movie. Up really falls apart in the 3rd act. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. This is turning into something else here. Okay. Seriously, though, Craig does not undersell it. This matchup is absolutely gutting. All right. Arguing on behalf of the number 2 seed, Toy Story 3, will be Jay Hoffman. Thank you very much. And arguing on behalf of the number 7 seed, Inside Out will be Vanessa Ferguson. This matchup is torturous. I can't even imagine. Jay, you're going to start us off here. Toy Story 3, why does it deserve to move on?
First of all, I wasn't nervous till I heard her talk on Dory. Thought this was a shoe-in because it's way better. It's by far the best in the trilogy. It's the first one to show us that the third can be the best. Ties in all the emotional aspects of growing from childhood into adulthood. And in my opinion, Lotso Huggenbear, top five villain all time. Love him. Why? Because he has a cause, he has a purpose, he has revenge in his heart, and you believe it. This is the note Toy Story should have ended on in theaters. This is Pixar's top dog. This is it right there. Toy Story 3.
Ding, ding. Man, that is that's pretty well argued there. All right, Vanessa, Inside Out is counting on you. Give me the reason it should move on.
Okay, so Toy Story 3. I know, like, bros everywhere, they connect with it. They feel, like, a lot of love to their childhood and their feelings. But keyword, feelings. You wouldn't have those feelings if it weren't for the feelings inside Inside Out. Oh. That movie taught us about feeling and sadness and anger and all those great things. And it really, just for like the critics' sake, critics really love this film because it teaches kids how to talk about their feelings. And that's really great. And here's the thing. If you don't agree with me that this is a better movie, do it for Bing Bong. Vote because of Bing Bong.
Man.
Bing Bong. Bing Bong died for her.
No.
Bing Bong died for her. Are you really going to let Bing Bong go down into the pit over Toy Story 3? Come on. Do it for Bing Bong.
Oh,
hashtag
my God.
Bing Bong.
I think I need a moment if at the inference of Bing Bong here. All right, everyone. I literally have no clue where this matchup could go. All right? Let's do this right. Everybody who thinks Toy Story 3 should move on, make noise. Okay. Now, everybody who thinks Inside Out should move on, make noise. I think that's a textbook example.
Am I allowed to vote?
I don't know. Are you supposed to be impartial here? I don't know. Toy Story 3 is moving on, everyone.
Let me tell you, though, Inside Out, solid film. If you haven't given it a chance, do. Brett, make sure you watch it. Okay. All right. Going on to the prestige bracket. This is going to be a big one, too. I've been looking forward to this matchup all night because it's so different. The prestige matchup, the number 8 seed, La La Land, versus the number 16 seed, Straight Outta Compton. All right. Here we go. Representing La La Land, we have Brett Rutherford, and representing Straight Outta Compton, Ryan Lutens. We're going to give Ryan Lutens the mic first. You have 1 minute.
All right. So basically, when it comes down to Straight Outta Compton, is that this is a movie that really defined a generation for people to go back to that generation. 90s rap was a big deal. And for people to go back and visit that and learn the story of how it came to be was nothing short of nostalgia. Now, I get it. La La Land is just a giant nostalgia to old Hollywood. Don't get me wrong. I like La La Land, but that's all it is. It's just a nostalgia piece. But this movie in and of itself told a story of history and what the rap game was back in the 90s. Not to mention, Paul Giamatti is just vile in this movie. Paul Giamatti, one of the best character actors, showing his best in how he manipulated Eazy-E. But, I mean, it just showed how this group, NWA, was really destroying
bong,
the music industry.
Bong. Brett Rutherford with La La Land.
Okay, so we have Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in a movie musical, not just something that pays tribute to old musicals. It completely redefines the musical for a new generation. I know, I have more time. Anyway, so I love L.A., I love La La Land, and it was gorgeous. It creates its own language, and it shows it the entire time. And even though it doesn't have the typical Hollywood happy ending, it gives you the feeling that anything is possible.
All right. So let's go on to voting. Who here would like to vote for La La Land. Clap your hands. Make some noise for La La Land. Whoa. Wow. How about Straight Outta Compton? Woo! Man. Sorry, Emma Stone. Move over. Can I say, literally the reason why I wanted to do a live podcast was so I could call for a beer from the bar and try to get it to me. So if someone would bring me a beer from the bar, I would love you so much. A lager would be great.
I feel like that voting reception was how La La Land felt on Oscar night, everyone. All right, let's keep it moving in the prestige bracket. This is why we love the brackets, because this matchup is really weird, and I cannot wait to hear it argued. The number four seed, Get Out, is going to be argued with Ryan Lutens, and it is going up against the number five seed, Bridesmaids, which is going to be argued by Vanessa Ferguson. Literally could not find two further apart movies, I think, if you tried. Let's go, Ryan Lutens.
The answer to that is Lou Hare. How Bridesmaids is a prestige movie is beyond me. Anyway, let's go ahead.
I sent you plenty of links to all of the awards it was nominated for and won, including its screenplay and its actress, Melissa McCarthy, Best Supporting Actress.
The only thing that got out of that movie was Melissa McCarthy's bowels.
Look, it was very well, like, you know, it was nominated for a lot of Academy Awards, you know? I don't think I could poop in a toilet or in a sink. Anyway, okay, Vanessa Ferguson first, arguing on behalf of Bridesmaids. Give us your argument, Vanessa.
Well, thank you, first off, to Lou, for starting off by mentioning all those wonderful things about Bridesmaids. It is a great film. It is a female comedy film, which there are not enough of, okay? I'm giving you Kristen Wiig. I'm giving you Maya Rudolph. I'm giving you Melissa McCarthy. Can you feel the heat coming up from my undercarriage? Great lines like that from the movie. I love that movie. There's a lady on the wing. She's churning butter. She's in colonial garb. That is a great, hilarious movie. I don't know how to compete with Get Out, but all I can say is that it's a really good feel-good film, and it's very relatable, especially if you have IBS. I don't know. A lot of people do. If you don't have Imodium on hand, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you're stuck in the middle of downtown Chicago with a lactose intolerance, and you don't know what to do. So anyway, it's really relatable, and I think you should vote for it. Thank you.
Jesus, man. Okay. Yeah, all right. I don't know what you're going to do there, Ryan, but give it your best shot here. Tell me why Get Out should be moving on.
Get Out is probably the best modern horror movie of the generation, of the 2010s. It redefined taking social themes and making them a horror construct. What he did with racism and wrote it in such a delicate way and yet in such a scary way made it a genius film. This film was nominated for Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Actor, and it won for Best Screenplay. It has 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Bradley Whitford, hilarious. Yes. Catherine Keener as the diabolical mother. Allison Williams, thank you. As the daughter. I mean, everything about this movie screams modern horror in the way that we wouldn't think, and yet we did.
Ding, 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 ding. I would totally watch that even more if Allison Janney was the daughter. All you was...
A modern horror is not having Imodium when you have IBS. Can I just say that? More people relate to that.
Oh, man. Okay. Vanessa is bringing the heat tonight, everyone. All right. This is a fascinating matchup. Everyone who wants Bridesmaids to move on, make noise. Okay. Everybody wants Get Out to move on. I think that Jordan Peele is moving on there. Get Out moves on to the next round.
All right. Moving into the last prestige matchup, we have Mad Max Fury Road versus Django Unchained. Oh, I'm sorry. I made my circle too big, and so I crossed out Inception. My apologies. All right, the number three seed Inception versus the number six seed The Social Network, starring superhero of the decade, Mark Zuckerberg. All right, Inception will be argued by Aaron, and Social Network will be argued by Brett. We will give Brett the honors first. Social Network, Brett.
So it's the true story, or at least it's an adaptation of the Mark Zuckerberg story. And we get to really see what kind of a jerk he was for about 2 hours. And the first 25 minutes are about how he has revenge coding on a girlfriend breakup. Yeah, well, that's good. So, yeah. That's about it. Sorry.
All right. So we now move on to Aaron for Inception.
Okay, where to start with Inception? First of all, with $160 million production budget, it grosses $823 million at the box office. It's a amazing original screen write from Christopher Nolan. It is put on by an incredible ensemble cast. And on top of all of the accolades and awards, it not only wins and is nominated for it, including Best Original Score and Best Sound, I don't know, whatever. But it's got one of the most haunting and amazing soundtracks by Hans Zimmer to date.
They're both kind of like, blah. I will say.
Okay. That thing lost to The Social Network score, which is literally just me.
The same with Inception. I will say, though, at least Inception is not Pretty Boy with Blonde Hair A from Dunkirk, right? Christopher Nolan, okay. not making his best work nowadays. All right, so the audience, number three, Inception. And the number six seed, The Social Network. Did you all see that they capitalized their name? Like, that was their new rebranding. They're like, we're not Facebook anymore. We're Facebook! All right. Inception cleans house.
All right. Now, a truly fascinating matchup here. To close out the prestige bracket, we've got Mad Max Fury Road, argued by Jay Hoffman, the number two seed, versus the number seven seed, Django Unchained, also argued by Jay Hoffman. He's arguing against himself here, people. This is going to be awesome. Jay, let's start with Mad Max Fury Road. Why do you think it should move on?
First of all, much less nervous because I saw this guy and he barely won with Toy Story 3. Mad Max Fury Road. If Avengers Endgame's the movie that showed you all the stuff you wanted to see, Mad Max Fury Road's the movie that showed you all the stuff you didn't even know you wanted to see.
There you go.
Because you don't have George Miller's imagination.
Woo!
It's one of the all-time, if not the all-time, great action movies, in my humble opinion. He seamlessly uses real-world action mixed with CGI. We have the return of one of cinema's great anti-heroes in Mad Max, as well as the creation of one of, if not the greatest, female hero in film history. And they took one of the most machismo action-filled movies and told a feminist story with it.
Woo!
This movie, I just rewatched it. Ah, I got goosebumps still. That was 3 days ago. It's
right,
that good.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, now arguing the opposing Django Unchained is Jay Hoffman. Jay Hoffman! Again, tell me why other movie should move on. Tell me why Django Unchained should move on.
Well, you probably didn't know that Django Unchained and The Greatest Showman were so much alike, but they're both alternative reality history movies. This, following along with what Quentin Tarantino's been doing over the last decade by rewriting history, but this one taking a tale that takes place pre-Civil War and giving it that revenge Western bent. There's nothing more to revel in than taking advantage of racist Southerners during the slave years. He uses violence in a way in that movie to not beat around the bush about how terrible those things were. But he also rewrites history so we can really see how stupid the Ku Klux Klan is. Why, that whole 5-minute argument they have where they can't see through the eyelids on their hoods. Because racists are a bunch of morons.
There you go. That was an incredible amount of arguing against yourself. Okay, everyone, who thinks Django Unchained should move on? Django Unchained. Good, good, good. Give me cheers for Mad Max Fury Road. That's it. Immortan Joe is moving on. Mad Max Fury Road.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the Martin Scorsese region. We're going to the superheroes. This is a biggie, and this is going to be a fun matchup right here. The number one seed, Avengers Endgame, the highest grossing movie of all time, versus the number nine seed, Avengers Infinity War. Endgame is going to be argued by Scott, and Infinity War by Brandon. Let's go Brandon first for Infinity War.
All right.
Let's do it, Brandon. Argue a superhero film for us.
All right. Well, Avengers Infinity War, just on a personal note, was the movie where the MCU finally clicked for me as a viewer, as someone who's not from that world and didn't experience all of that. The amazing thing about it to me is you have a three-dimensional villain who has a point of view, yes, a logical point of view, which makes it even scarier. A great performance by Josh Brolin. It reads like a comic book. You've got all of these different characters intertwining together. It doesn't have a beginning that drags like Endgame does. It's into the action right from the very beginning. excuse me. And it also has two of the three greatest battles of all time, the Battle on Titan and the Battle for Wakanda.
Bum, bum. All right. Now in Endgame, Avengers Endgame, Scott.
One of these films in the bracket is the greatest grossing film of all time, and the other one is Infinity War. So that's one thing. But without Endgame, you don't have the payoff that Infinity War built up to. There is so much payoff in everything that happens, not only from Infinity War, but from 10 years of MCU, from scenes where Sam Wilson gets the shield, spoilers, Disney Plus next year. But along with that, you have this iconic moment, which made me freaking cry, when Thor's about to die. And who picks up the hammer? Freaking Captain freaking America. But then at the end, you have Tony's sacrifice, which is, that man cried loudly. I was sitting next to him. But then you end the film, not on a high bombastic note, but with Steve and Peggy dancing.
Bwah-bwah.
That's it.
All right, here we go. Don't break the mics, please. Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. Everybody that wants to vote for Avengers Endgame, please clap now. Avengers Infinity War. All right, to me, it was Endgame. You agree?
Yes.
All right, Endgame moves on in the bracket.
All right, continuing with the superhero bracket, the number four seed, Black Panther, the only MCU film nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture, yet, argued by Lou Hare versus Guardians of the Galaxy, argued by Steve Sykes. This is going to be fascinating. All right, Lou Hare, the floor is yours. Tell me why Black Panther should move on.
Well, you helped me out already by mentioning it is the only MCU movie nominated for Best Picture, and it's for a reason. It's maybe the singular greatest standalone piece of the MCU. It doesn't need context before or after it. It doesn't. All it does is it is a perfect story within and of itself. It's also the highest grossing individual MCU movie that's not a crossover, none of the Avengers movies. But it also has such deep themes behind it that Guardians doesn't even touch. It's got one of the most complex villains the MCU has ever introduced in Killmonger, a great performance by Michael B. Jordan. Everything on this movie connects on every single level. It is cinema.
Ding, 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 ding. There we go. Okay. Mr. Steve Sykes, tell me why Guardians of the Galaxy deserves to move on.
First of all, because Black Panther has the crappiest CGI in all of the MCU. It was the first MCU movie with mostly unknown characters. Black Panther would not be if it weren't for Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians proved what MCU could be. Of course, it has an amazing soundtrack. The first soundtrack that hit the top of the Billboard charts with no original music. And and you fall in love with a raccoon and a tree.
There you go. Steve Sykes putting it down. All right, another fascinating matchup here. Everyone, cheers aplenty. Who thinks Black Panther should move on? Black Panther. Okay. Who thinks Guardians of the Galaxy?
I think that's a tie.
I think that's a tie as well. All right, one more time. One more time. Black Panther, everyone.
Wakanda Forever.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy. All right, that's a Guardians win. Sorry, Lou. Sorry, Guardians is moving on.
Jeremy is just really afraid of his rock, paper, scissors skills, so he wanted to go again. All right. All right. Now, the number three seed in the superhero region, Wonder Woman by Aaron, versus the number one seed in the animation. Oh, I mean the number six seed in the superhero bracket, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse by Phil Rockwell. Phil Rockwell, lead us off right now.
Is this okay? All right. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is flatly the greatest comic book movie of all time. Not in the MCU. It's a standalone that shows you the power of a single film that isn't saddled with a bloated universe that handcuffs its storytelling. It puts a minority front and center, and amazingly, it's a movie that seems like the directors did not say no to a single idea, and yet every single one of them works. But most importantly, it is a movie that feels like a comic book. You can practically feel the pages in your hand. You can smell the comic book shop. If you love comic books, there is no other movie you can put in the top besides Into the Spider-Verse.
Phil brought his notes, and I'm surprised that my brother didn't attack you.
I really like Wonder Woman too. So,
all right, Aaron, we got Wonder Woman. Go for it.
It's always hard to follow Phil when he's passionate. But as far as if the 2010s are the decade of the resurgence of girl power, then what Wonder Woman does is bring the divine feminine and beautiful female badasses back into the center stage. And not only does she do that, she saves the sinking ship that is the DC Extended Universe. In fact, all of those other men in the DC Extended Universe are hanging on to the gorgeous, glistening biceps of Diana Prince.
Bom, bom. Okay. Everybody, who wants to vote for Wonder Woman? Now. Who wants to vote for Miles Morales and Into the Spider-Verse? Now. Oh, I think Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman won it. Wonder Woman won it. I vehemently disagree, but Wonder Woman won it.
All right. Now the most interesting matchup of the superhero region. Arguing for the number 10 seed Deadpool will be Steve Sykes. Arguing for the number 15 seed that pulled the big upset, Star Wars The Last Jedi. That's right, people. It moved on. The Last Jedi got into the second round. Phil Rockwell will be arguing that point. All right, Steve, this is going to be interesting here, all right? Tell me why Deadpool deserves to move on over The Last Jedi.
Well, first of all, Deadpool is a superhero. it showed that an R-rated superhero movie could work. There's never been a better bit of casting than Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Not bad.
And the fact that it enabled him to shake off the stink of Green Lantern is an amazing, amazing thing. Deadpool forever.
All right, there you go. Concise, to the point. I like it. Phil Rockwell, tell me why. This is going to get epic, people. I'm just warning you right now. Tell me why The Last Jedi deserves to move on.
All right, this is why I'm here. While George Lucas is rightly credited with giving us this peerless fantasy universe, his own interest has always been incredibly narrow. Whether it was Anakin or Luke, the fate of the galaxy always revolved around the Chosen One. But George Lucas saw his creation through a peephole. It took Rian Johnson to kick the door down. Johnson conceived of a Star Wars universe, one that's embodied by Daisy Ridley's Rey, where internal reflection trumped external aspiration, where our salvation resides in ourselves, not in the stars, where prophecy is a prison that shackles us to the past and the expectations of those who came before us. Luke argues that the Jedi must die, but the death of the Jedi is not an act of destruction, but one of liberation. It frees the Force from the narrow confines of an isolated sect and a specific bloodline and gives it to the masses. Though A New Hope claimed the Force was universal, it's the last Jedi that delivered on it. Whether you're the descendant of Darth Vader or the daughter of drunk nobodies, Force is now truly, finally, with all of us.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I did not want to cut off the thesis there. Okay, everyone, give me a vote for Deadpool. Who thinks it should move on? Not bad. Who thinks Star Wars The Last Jedi should move on? I don't know.
Star Wars wins. All right, folks. We are done. We are done with the first round. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move into the Sweet 16. What I will tell you is that in the Elite Eight, we are opening it up to the audience to participate. So make sure if you're thinking about the Elite Eight and you want to participate, let us know. What we're going to do for the Sweet 16 is we're going to randomly draw names of front row hosts to be able to argue this.
You don't know what you're arguing.
If you haven't seen the movie, then you're off the podcast. All right, here we go. In the franchise region, Pitch Perfect versus The Conjuring. To represent Pitch Perfect will be Steve Sykes. To represent The Conjuring will be Lou Hare.
Yeah.
All right. Lou Hare, you're up with The Conjuring. You have 30 seconds in this round. Whoa.
Well, as Steve so eloquently mentioned in the last round, The Conjuring has spawned sequel after sequel after sequel. This is a franchise that has legs. It keeps moving. If you're talking about horror in the decade, you can't not mention The Conjuring. It is a movie that is part of this decade. This whole franchise has seeped into the culture. Everything about it speaks 2010s.
All right, Steve Sykes with Pitch Perfect.
If you like an a cappella movie, you better watch Pitch Perfect. You better not watch The Conjuring because they don't even sing that much in it. Pitch Perfect is the best movie of the decade.
Wow. All right, everybody. Everybody for Pitch Perfect, please say something. All right, Conjuring. All right, The Conjuring moves on. All right, next go. Here we go.
All right, we've got arguing on behalf of John Wick, Mr. Ryan Lutens, and arguing on behalf of Planet of the Apes, Phil Rockwell, everyone. All right, Ryan Lutens, tell me why. We're going to cut it down to 30 seconds here. Why should John Wick move on?
This is Keanu Reeves at his finest. Not only is it Keanu Reeves at its finest, you've got Angelica Houston, Ian McShane. You've got a cast of all-stars that rock this movie. But more importantly, it is genuine action. Yes, War for the Planet of the Apes arrives on visual effects, but you've got Keanu Reeves on a motorcycle kicking pure ass with a katana.
Ding,
that's
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, Phil Rockwell, tell me why Planet of the Apes should move on.
All right, I have to make one quick correction. Planet of the Apes does not rely on special effects. It relies on the performance of the actors who were performing underneath those special effects. Who, when they heard Planet of the Apes, did not go, that was the stupidest idea for a remake I ever heard, and then it turns into this dark, human masterpiece of a trilogy that is a perfect encapsulation of everything that makes us human,
ding,
whether
ding.
You're human or an ape.
Ding, ding, ding. Good. Well argued on both sides. All right, everyone, who thinks John Wick should move on? Not bad. All right. Who thinks Planet of the Apes should move on? Planet of the Apes is moving on. I am very sorry, Lou.
All right. After my heart in the family bracket, we have Moana versus Big Hero 6. You're welcome, everyone. All right. For Moana, we have Phil Rockwell. You're in here twice, everyone. And for Big Hero 6, we have Scott McFarland. All right. Here we go. Phil Rockwell, you're up for Moana.
If you have a daughter and you do not vote for Moana, I don't know what you're doing with your life. I should be calling the cops. This is a beautiful story about a young woman coming into her own. The music is gorgeous. The look is gorgeous. The villain at the end that is a lava monster that turns into this beautiful, lush landscape. You don't get better than that in animation. But back to the main point, cops, daughter, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Bong, bong. Big Hero 6.
Let me tell you why Moana should win. Okay. So first off. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't. I have two daughters. I can't do it. So Moana is a film that not only, as Aaron already pointed out, is somebody who doesn't need a romance. The protagonist male actually leaves in the second and third act. And she continues her journey without him. He does come back at the end, but he still doesn't save the day.
Wong, wong.
Hold on. Also. No.
All right. Also, dot, dot, dot. Everybody that wants to vote for Moana, Big Hero 6, Moana is taking that, whatever that boat is called, to the next round. All right, here we go.
All right, Finding Dory is going to be argued by Mr. Scott McFarland, arguing for Finding Dory. And arguing for Toy Story 3 will be Aaron McCabe, arguing for Toy Story 3. All right, Scott, let's just get it out of the way. Tell me why Finding Dory should win.
Let me tell you why Toy Story 3 should win.
Come on.
I'm sorry, I can't do it. Finding Dory was a terrible sequel. Finding Nemo was good. Finding Dory was derivative, and it really dragged on, and it wasn't that good. Toy Story 3, the last scene in the incinerator, the end.
Look at this. All right. Well, Aaron, I think it's a tough hill to climb there, but tell me why Toy Story 3 should win.
I mean, I think Scott pretty much summed it up for us all, so I think we can go on from here.
All right. Well, that is how you argue. Everyone for Finding Dory. Look at that. I like that. Everyone for Toy Story 3. We've got... Yeah, exactly. This is exactly why. All right, we're going to keep it rolling here in the, let's see, let's go to the prestige bracket here. Straight Outta Compton, argued by Brandon Davis. When I go to my rap musical biopics, I go to Brandon Davis. And arguing for Get Out is Brandon Davis. Look at that. Go ahead, Brandon. Tell me why Straight Outta Compton should win.
One I have seen. I have not seen Straight Outta Compton.
You know what? Just give me your Get Out then.
Oh, 90s rap. What else can I say?
Oh my God! Just keep it going, man. All right, we're not going to torture him anymore, everyone. All right, everyone for Straight Outta Compton. Everyone for Get Out. Come on, everyone. Get Out's moving on.
That was the whitest thing I've ever heard. All right, here we go. All right, now we are on to Inception and Mad Max. For Inception, we have Vanessa Ferguson. And for Mad Max Fury Road, please be Brett. It is actually Brett Rutherford. Yes, the Disney people arguing non-Disney movies. Vanessa, you're up.
Okay, so the reason why Inception is better is I actually had a dream about it.
And then while I was dreaming it, I was having this dream that I was here at this panel, and then like, but then I fell asleep again, and I was like in another dream, but in that dream, like, it definitely was the winner, but then like I fell asleep in that dream, and then I was at the Oscars, and in that dream, like, it literally was the best movie. So that's all I can say is, in all my dreams, Inception is the best movie. There we go.
All right, Brett, you're up with Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, I saw Inception, and I'd rather be in an apocalyptic desert. And it won all the awards, so that's really all it is.
All right, everybody, for Inception, please cheer. Mad Max, please cheer. All right, Mad Max takes out Chris Nolan.
All right, superheroes are back up on the docket here, arguing for Avengers Endgame, Mr. Lou Hare, and arguing for Guardians of the Galaxy, Mr. Steve Sykes. Look at this. All right, Steve, I don't know what else you could have said in this regard here, but go ahead. Why should Guardians keep moving on?
Guardians is just a fantastic feel-good movie that hits the checks the box for science fiction. It checks the box for Marvel movies. Again, wonderful talking tree, amazing talking raccoon. Come get your love.
Ding, ding, ding. Come and get your love indeed. Lou Hare, are you feeling the love for Avengers Endgame?
If Endgame doesn't advance, Tony Stark died for nothing.
Oh, no! No! Oh, that's it. He's dropped the mic, people. Okay. Yeah, spoilers. Okay. All right, everyone. Who thinks Guardians of the Galaxy should move on? And who thinks Avengers Endgame should move on? That's a good out there. There's a good outcome. Avengers Endgame is moving on. Last matchup at the Sweet 16.
Oh, right. We are on to Wonder Woman versus Star Wars The Last Jedi in the matchup that shouldn't exist. Jay Hoffman, you're Wonder Woman.
Deadpool won.
Oh, did Deadpool what? No, Wonder Woman definitely won.
Oh, there you go.
No, Last Jedi won. Jay, you're Wonder Woman. Ryan Luton's your Last Jedi. Let's do this. Ryan Luton's, you're up first.
Boom.
That's all right. I don't need it because Last Jedi really took the franchise in a different direction that it needed to go in. Regardless of how you feel about it, I mean, we need something. It's a new era. It's the 2010s. This is Star Wars The Last Jedi the way it was meant to be seen. You're given a story. What? You're given a story that people didn't expect, but it's a story that we needed because it shows that no matter who you are, it doesn't matter as long as you believe in something, you can carry on.
All right. Wonder Woman, Jay Hoffman.
We're talking about new direction. How about the DCEU with Wonder Woman bringing it back to some form of glory? How about Marvel being in business for years with movies? And finally, a superior female superhero coming into the movies. What are you talking about, new direction? Wonder Woman's the one taking things in new direction. And we actually have some faith that DC can make some good movies.
Wah, wah.
Wonder Woman's that did it.
All right, everybody. Wonder Woman, cheer. Last Jedi, cheer. I'm going to say Wonder Woman took it. Wonder Woman moves on to the Elite Eight. Now we are going to invite some people in the audience. Bye, Reggie. Have a good night. Yeah. All right. Does anybody in the audience want to argue the matchup, The Conjuring versus Planet of the Apes? If not, that's fine. All right. We are going to go with Phil Rockwell for Planet of the Apes, and we're going to go with Aaron McCabe for The Conjuring. All right, here we go. Conjuring first. Aaron, let's go.
All right, I'll go first. So you've heard what I have to say about Planet of the Apes. Here's what I'm going to say about The Conjuring. The Conjuring is a technically proficient, sterile horror movie. If you like horror, this is for kids. It's for children. Anything can jump out of a closet and spook you, but The Conjuring does not have people we're drawn to. The Warrens were
con artists. Scammed people out of their money, and you would support them with a film franchise.
All right, Aaron, you're up for The Conjuring. Did you even say a word about the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, I said I had already said words about Planet of the Apes.
Okay, there we go. All right, here we go. Ready? Go for it, Aaron.
I feel very gaslit right now. Let me just put that out there. To piggyback off what Lou said, as far as The Conjuring goes, even though Phil is arguing that it's a sterile movie, it does open up the market to a wider audience because it's not so much gore and blood and everyone's being murdered and no one can watch it because they're traumatized when they walk out of the theater.
Boom, boom. So, okay. All right. Here we go. Who wants Conjuring? Cheer. Who wants those apes? Cheer. Planet of the Apes moves on.
All right. Anybody want to argue on behalf of Moana?
Apes is in the final four.
There you go. We're going to interject. All right. I'm going to assign some here. I'm going to assign Moana to... Who did Vanessa talk about Moana?
Here's the deal. I want this one to be Bretton and Vanessa because it's two Disney properties now. Moana, I'm going to give to Brett Rutherford, and Toy Story 3, I'm going to give to Vanessa. Let's do this. Brett, you go first.
Moana, well, hey. It's a joke. Sorry, it's a joke. It's a great... Well, I mean, it's Pixar. It's water. It's about a woman's story or a young woman's story and how she becomes the very most important person in her family by bringing her family back together.
There you go. Okay, Vanessa Ferguson, Toy Story 3.
All right, give me a beat. Okay, so Toy Story 3. Yeah, okay, Moana teaches you that about being a woman, but you know what Toy Story 3 teaches you about? Teaches you about death. They all go to the fiery burning place, and we all got to be prepared for that because it's coming, people. It's coming.
Wow. Wow.
Moana wasn't Pixar.
No.
Disney Animation. Turn your card in.
I've been corrected. Thank you.
Oh, goodness. I think I like watching those two argue about Disney more than anything in the world. All right. Who thinks Moana should move on? Okay. Toy Story 3. Sorry, looks like the toys are moving on. All right. The prestige bracket here, the finals.
All right. Endgame versus Wonder Woman. Anybody want to argue in the audience? Come on, Geek Awakens. Oh, I'm going to go to the superhero bracket because I want to. Geek Awakens, guys. Come up here. Who wants to argue Endgame? Who wants to argue Wonder Woman? Mitch Ladd is going to argue Endgame, and Tabitha is going to argue Wonder Woman. Let's get up here. Let's do this. All right. First, we're going to go with you guys need to figure this out. Tabitha for Wonder Woman, and then we'll go to Mitch. So, Tabitha, you're up. 30 seconds.
Am I on? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Arguing with Mitch is my favorite thing. So, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was the woman's movie of the year when it came out. I sat in that theater with 90% women and cried my eyes out because a woman got to be strong for the first time in the entire history of superhero movies. A woman got to be strong. What do you got, Mitch?
Ba-boom. Endgame, okay. Mitch.
So... Well, yes, but you also had that scene where you had, like a dozen women, all coming together, which was fantastic. But Endgame, like, as a whole, like, that was 11 years of buildup that just, like, and it delivered on every single thing. Like,
All right, let's go with this. Who wants to vote for Wonder Woman? Yeah! Who wants to vote for Endgame? Endgame into the final four. And then we now have Get Out versus Mad Max.
Yes, Get Out versus Mad Max Fury Road here. Anybody want to take that one? No? 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 All right, well, I'm going to make Brandon Davis argue for Mad Max Fury Road. You haven't seen it? Ah, oh, man. Okay. Lou Hare, why don't you argue for Mad Max Fury Road? And anybody... Jay Hoffman, why don't you argue on behalf of Get Out? Lou Hare, let's start with you. Mad Max Fury Road, why should it move on? Keep talking.
Am I on now? Okay.
So Mad Max is a 20-year vision come to life. George Miller had been waiting to make this movie. He made it exactly his way. This is an auteur film that is breathtaking in its scope. It is one of the, like, all of the practical effects used, the scope of it, the visuals of it, are something that you would see in a superhero movie, but it's not a superhero movie. It's also deep and it's pointed. Charlize Theron is amazing in it. She should have gotten nominated for an Academy Award. It's a crime she didn't.
There you go. Jay Hoffman, why should Mad Max, or should Get Out go on in there?
20 years in the making, more like 40, and by that I mean it's a bit of a relic, whereas Get Out is moving us forward culturally. Not quite the case as far as Mad Max goes. Not only does it have fine cultural points, but it's also scary.
Yeah. All right, there you go. This is going to be fascinating. All right, Mad Max Fury Road, make noise. Okay, okay. How about Jordan Peele's Get Out? Unfortunately, Get Out is moving on to the final four. Here we go.
All right, I've got the matchups made. So for the Apes, Planet of the Apes movie, I want Ryan Lutens versus Toy Story 3 by Vanessa Ferguson. Here we go. Here we go. Ryan Lutens, you're up. 30 seconds.
All right, as much as Toy Story 3 is good, you've got a great performance by Andy Serkis. You've got great performance by Gary Oldman. You've got great performance by Woody Harrelson. You've got great performance by all the other actors in this movie. Nominated for 2 Academy Awards based on visuals. Yes, you got your Academy Award for animated, but this as a franchise and a whole.
Boom, boom.
It's great.
Toy Story 3.
You've got great performances by Buzz Lightyear. You got great performances by Woody, Rex, Bo Peep, Potato Head, Slinky Dog. What you got? I got them all day. They're in my closet, man. That's why Toy Story 3 lives forever.
All right. Who wants to vote for Planet of the Apes? Literally no one. Who wants to vote for Toy Story 3? All right, Toy Story 3 moves on.
What an interesting matchup here. All right, arguing for Avengers Endgame in the Final Four, Mr. Scott McFarlane. And arguing for Get Out in the Final Four, Mr. Lewis Hare. All right, this is going to be interesting here. Do you want to tag him in?
His mic on.
Mic first?
Yes.
Okay. He's sitting right next to me so he can help me. I don't care because first of all, Get Out's a freaking milestone for the horror genre. It is one of the first horror movies to ever be nominated for Best Picture. There's only like 3 of those ever in the history of the decade of cinema. So you're going to talk about Get Out. You're going to talk about Jordan Peele, who made a breakthrough writing and directing. I'm going to hand it.
It's lean. It's mean. There's not a second wasted. There is not a piece of the frame that is wasted. Everything has a purpose versus the bloated, long, tedious Avengers Endgame.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here we go. Scott McFarland.
I'm just going to talk about that last scene because that last scene, well, not the last scene, the last battle makes the film and makes a franchise. You have the amazing musical score of Portals. And if you haven't listened to Portals on the soundtrack, it is wonderful.
Hear, hear.
And you got the idea that you have this group of 3 who started a franchise on their last leg. 2 of them are down. 1 is ready to go. And then at the last second, you hear this guy right here on the mic on your left. And then it just opens up. And everything, I don't care what you like. If you like Ant-Man, he's there. If you like whoever, what bom, you list bom, them all. Bom, if you like Mr. Potato Head, he's probably there too. I know for a fact that Howard the fucking Duck was there. So there you go.
Okay.
And the first one you saw was Black Panther, who should be here right now.
Okay. That's on me. All right, everyone, who's voting for Get Out? Holy crap. Who's voting for Avengers Endgame? I think that's a rock, paper, scissors if I ever saw one. All right, one more time. One more time, one more time. Avengers Endgame. Okay. And Get Out! Sorry, Scott, that's Get Out moving on to the finals.
Is the finals, and here's what we're going to do. Jeremy and I are going to come off the bench, and we're going to talk some movies. I've taken Toy Story 3, and he's taken The Loser, and Get Out.
Oh, am I?
You are.
Oh, am I?
Can I say one thing? This is the most bonkers finals we have ever had in a finals.
All right.
Like, this, I love this. This is fantastic. All right. You guys have been great.
Here it goes.
This is bonkers. I can't wait to see it. Bring it up.
All right, who should go first? Jeremy should go first.
Oh, should I?
It's the lower seed. Go for it, Jeremy.
Okay, so Get Out, as has already been said, is one of the seminal horror films of all time, but it's also one of the greatest films of the decade, and also the fact that it doesn't have the stench of Toy Story 4 on it, all right? I'm just going to say that, all right? Not that I don't love a freaking imaginary fork as a main character, all right? But I've got the amazing Daniel Kaluuya in the lead role, all right? Allison Williams playing creepy as hell, and The West Wing's Bradley Whitford as one of the best screen villains of all time. Also, Jordan Peele is just way, way, way better than, I don't know, whoever the hell directed Toy Story 3.
All right. Here's the deal. When you go to bed at night, you're going to think about Toy Story 3 because it is the best film of this decade. So many times, Buzz and Woody will be in your ear because they have just... they've grown up with us, and when Andy went to college and gave them to Bonnie, it broke me down. It was so incredible. They were playing with those daycares. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen deserve this prize. They are going to be so excited that they won it. And I know that the Tom Hanks of Springfield, Steve Sykes, is going to vote for Toy Story 3. It is the best absolute movie of the decade. Pixar rules. Disney rules. Thank you.
Lou Hare, everyone.
First of all, I got two things to say. First of all of this is bunk once Cats comes out next month. I got to get that out of the way because that shit's going to be the movie of the decade.
Movie of the decade, everyone.
Print
Cats.
That.
All right.
Second of all, I got to say, if we're looking at what we think 10 years from now, the most influential movie will be between these two. I have to say, I love Toy Story 3.
Hey.
But I'm going to say this. Get Out has done more for the horror genre.
Are you arguing a movie? I was gonna give you the go to decide it all because it was your bracket. But hell no, I'm not doing that.
That's fine. No. I'm fine. I'll be happy to go down on this ship because I do think
all right.
10 years from now. Because one of the things this decade bracket doesn't get to do that the 80s and 90s brackets have gotten to do, those brackets had perspective. This one doesn't. This one lacks perspective. I think 10 years from now,
right.
Get Out is the movie that we're going to be talking about as influential.
Since you talked on that, I'm calling in Vanessa Ferguson for Toy Story 3.
Oh, buddy, you got to follow your own advice and get out with that.
Oh,
get out of here. Get out of here. Don't you have children? They're going to remember Toy Story. They're not going to remember Get Out. They're too scared from it. They're going to block it from their memory. But they will remember Buzz Lightyear and Woody because those are our heroes of the last decade, and that is the best film of the movie. Get out of here.
All right. He's been working hard all night, so I'm going to have Corbin decide the winner of this bracket.
What?
Corbin,
oh, no, we gotta
give
do,
me, give me,
he'll
no,
have
no, no,
a
no, no, no,
no,
what I'm
going to
say is, you have to shout, Corbin, give me a thumbs
Corbin,
up.
Corbin, you will decide the cheer winner.
If you think the crowd is louder for Toy Story, you give me a thumbs up. If you give me a thumbs down, that means the crowd is louder for Get Out, all right? Everybody, get out. Yeah! All right, Toy Story 3. All right. Corbin has decided the movie of the decade is Jordan Peele's Get
Woo!
Out.
Woo!
Yeah! Thank you so much for coming tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone that made the trip from the Front Row Network. Thank you so much. We're going to say them all again. Brandon Davis, the host of Classics. Scott McFarland, sometime the host of Flashback.
We've got Steve Sykes, Vanessa Ferguson, the co-host of Beyond the Mouse, Brett Rutherford, the co-host of Beyond the Mouse, Ryan Lutens, sometimes the host of Flashbacks, Jay Hoffman, who does all of our military specials, Lou Hare, who does all of our guilty pleasures, Phil Rockwell, bringing you Pop Culture Draft Night, and Aaron McCabe, just bringing you the awesome. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you all so much. I am Craig McFarland, Associate Editor of the Front Row Network.
I'm Jeremy Gechner, the Editor-in-Chief, and as always,
we'll see you in the front row. Yes!
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. You can also find and follow us on social media by searching for The Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter.